Yeah. And you guys wonder what we do all week long, you know? Guys, I remember the first time. That I had something stolen from me. I was in high school, and I had a 1982 Jeep Grand Wagoneer with wood paneling on the sides. You know, it was great. To change the radio station, you had to, you know, do this. It was huge. And my brother had decked out the back of his back out of the Wagoneer with this set of box speakers, 25-inch speakers or whatever. And I remember walking out. It was a cold November day. I walked out. We parked in the driveway. I was walking out to go to school, and I noticed the triangle window was open, and I never opened that window, the little triangle window in the front. It was open. I said, "Did I leave that window open?" And all of a sudden, the door was unlocked, and I thought to myself, "No, I always lock this." So I noticed that the little lock on the triangle window was busted, and I looked in the front seat. My stereo was still there. All my 80s tapes. You know, we're still there. Obviously, they weren't that valuable. I look in the back seat. Nothing's missing. All my soccer stuff is there. You know, my dirty socks and cleats and everything. Then I look in the very back, and the speakers were gone. And I remember the feeling of violation that I got. It wasn't just the speakers. The speakers were speakers. This is the fact that somebody had broken into my car and was in my car. Somebody had come to my house and broken into my car. And the feeling of violation and the feelings of anger and everything that just kind of swept over me when I had something like that stolen from me. Well, this past Wednesday, I got a phone call from Adam. And Adam said, "Hey, I got some bad news. We went to pull the van around to move the trailer. And it was very, very loud. And looked underneath, and someone had cut out the catalytic converter out of the van." While I was making the police report, he said, "Yeah, this is happening all over. Trailers are being stolen out of here. Things like that are being stolen all the time around here." And I thought to myself, you know, no wonder the Bible says, "You shall not steal." You know, we're in a series called God's Top 10. We start off, you know, 8 weeks ago, starting with, "You shall have no other gods before me. And you shall not make any idols, and do not misuse the name of the Lord. Honor the Sabbath day, then honor father and mother. Shall not kill, shall not commit adultery." And then today we're talking about shall not steal. And I've actually interviewed people that have been arrested for theft and have been habitual stealers. And I ask, why do you steal? What makes it so great? Why do you steal stuff? And they gave me these answers. First, they said that it makes them feel better. So this one lady that was in prison said that it made her feel better to steal things. That the acquisition of things made her feel better. It satisfied some type of need within her. Second one is one guy real honestly said, I just don't respect people. I have no respect for people, and that's why I take stuff. That's a symptom of that entitlement mentality that is becoming so prevalent in our culture that we feel like we deserve things, and therefore we don't honor and respect people. Another person said he stole for the thrill of it. He would steal stuff and just throw the stuff away. He didn't even want the stuff. He just wanted the adrenaline rush for stealing stuff. One person said that they were just greedy, just flat out greedy. "I just want more. Whatever I have, I want more. It's not the having, it's the getting that's important to me." That, like we talked about last week, this appetite that always wants more. Obviously, another one is the cultural materialism, that we're constantly surrounded by things we don't own, that we don't have. And if we can't get these things by legal means, then we'll get them by illegal means. That's basically what is going on in our culture. And I don't know, just kind of an aside, I've been following the tsunami story over in Japan. You hear about that? You know, the constant story that keeps coming out of that is there is no looting. No looting. The stores, they don't even have to lock the stores. No one is going in and taking things in the absence of authority. No one's doing that. Now, contrast that to America, where if anything happens, you know, if a leaf falls off a tree and a policeman's looking the other way, there's looting everywhere. Okay? And I find it very convicting to me that America is the nation with the highest number of Christians, the highest percentage of Christians in the world. Japan, less than 1% of people call Christ Lord and Savior, and yet whenever there's something over here in America, looting is widespread. Over there, none. The reason is because over in Japan, they do not have an entitlement mentality. They do not feel like they deserve things because they are living. Whatever they have, you work for. That's what their culture tells them. So that's just an aside. But anyway, the problem with stealing. I was talking with these people that I had interviewed. The problem with stealing, I said, problem number one is that it violates security and trust. Said, man, when that stuff was stolen from me, I did not feel safe in my home. There was somebody in my house, in my car, stealing from me. I didn't feel safe. It violated all my security. And you know what? It violated my trust in people. Violated my trust in people. Violated my trust in you. Because if you get tagged as a thief, no one's going to trust you. So many people say, well, nobody trusts me. Well, I wonder why. Second problem is that it shows a total lack of respect for others. Total lack of respect for others. You know what? I found this out. You tell someone exactly what you think they're worth when you steal from them. You do. You tell someone exactly what they're worth when you steal from them. Because that when my car was broken into, that person told me exactly what they thought of me, and it wasn't much. Okay? But the main problem, and this is the big one, exposes a heart problem. Exposes a major heart problem. You guys, I can remember sitting in church as a kid. And one of the few things I remember sitting in church as a kid was this guy got up there and he had a briefcase and he said, this briefcase has a handle. It's made for a hand, okay? Handle made for a hand. My elbow won't fit in there. My knee won't fit in there. My head won't fit in there. It is made for a hand. And I can try to carry it other ways, but it's not going to work. It is made for a hand. He says, in the same way, you have a God-shaped hole in your heart that only God can fill. He's the only one that can fulfill it. He's the only one that can make you fulfilled. And yet, so many people try to put a thing, a possession, a job, money, whatever, to fill that hole, and it doesn't work. And people wind up always being unsatisfied, never finding their purpose, because they've never, ever put the only thing that will fit in there. And that is Jesus. See, the problem is when we don't have Christ in our heart, we try to put a square peg in a round hole, we will constantly look for something to fulfill us, and a lot of times that becomes a possession, and that's what leads to stealing. But check this out. This is a interesting story in the book of Acts. You guys will turn to Acts 5, 1 through 11. This is a story about the early church and how it was getting together. The early church had only been around a couple years, probably, and maybe not even that. Maybe a couple months. This was right after Pentecost and Book of Acts. It's towards the back of your Bible, Acts chapter 5, verse 11. If you, it's probably 10 books back from the back of your Bible. Probably about 90%. About 90% of the Bible is where the Book of Acts is. All right, Acts 5, 1 through 11. All right, backstory to this. The church took very seriously caring for the poor and needy. And so wealthy people in the church would sell fields and sell things, and they would bring that money to the church, and the church would care for people and buy food for the poor and things like that. That's what was going on here, and it had been going on. Okay, now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? After it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. And I thought to myself, okay, wait a second. They were doing a good thing here. They sold a piece of property. They didn't have to do it. And all they did was take a little commission off the top. Man, all they did was keep back a little bit for themselves. You know, and maybe they gave a whole bunch of it to church. Wasn't that good enough? Well, the problem is much deeper. Let's keep on going. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. After about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door. They will carry you out also. That moment she fell down at her feet and at his feet and died. Wow. And the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. And I thought to myself when I read this, that's pretty intense. Someone wants to do something good, and they sell a piece of property, and all they do is keep back a little portion for themselves, and it costs both of them their lives? What in the world is going on here? Well, guys, it exposes a deeper issue. Remember, it exposes a heart problem. Stealing exposes a heart problem, that we are not fully dedicated to the Lord. And what's going on here is Peter is showing, the Lord is showing, that the model that God has is more than you shall not steal. The model is God wants us to have integrity. Huge, huge, huge thing. So let's reframe the commandment to you shall not steal to you shall have integrity. Okay? Because that is what is going on here. They were not acting in integrity. And when they stole from the Lord. Okay, here we go. And the reason this is so very important is because I've identified several areas. Like the whole thing of you shall not steal, you know, that doesn't apply to me. I've never shoplifted. I've never stolen anything. I don't take things from people, so I'm good, right? Well, unfortunately, our culture has so wired us that we may be total thieves and not even be aware of it. And so I've identified a few blind spots to tell you guys that where we may be falling short, okay? So God's design is integrity, okay? First of all, in the classroom, we have a lot of students in here, and we have a lot of parents of students in here. So God's design for us is integrity in the classroom, and the blind spot for us, major blind spot, is plagiarism. Okay? Plagiarism is the stealing of intellectual ideas and passing them off as your own. Plagiarism is such a problem in colleges and high schools that professors and teachers now have websites they can go to. They send your paper to this website, and it matches it against millions and millions of papers to see if you have copied phrases. It's amazing. It's such a problem. Proverbs 10:9 says this, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out." Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. If you are in the habit of taking other people's ideas and not giving credit and passing them off as yours, you will be found out. That is known as plagiarism, and it is stealing. Stealing someone else's ideas. The same thing is true with cheating. Cheating is epidemic in our schools right now. And I understand that because I was in the high-pressure academic stuff. I was in all the honors classes, and the pressure to perform in the school was very strong. It was. And the temptation was to cheat big time. Cheating is simply getting a grade you did not earn. It is passing a paper or a test that you did not study for and that you did not earn. Okay? The worst thing happened, when I was a freshman in high school, I had a geometry test and a civics test in the same day. All right? And the geometry test was in the morning and civics test was in the afternoon. Well, I was not doing very well in geometry, okay? I just didn't, so I had to study for that big time, and I did not study for the civics test. And so the geometry test was in the morning, and I did well on that. And so at lunchtime, I realized, man, I'm going to bomb this civics test, and I'm going to get killed. My parents will not, you know, let me play soccer. They'll take away everything if I do badly on this test. So back then in the 1989, the cool thing was to wear jeans, a T-shirt, and then a button-down shirt open. Okay, don't ask me why it was cool. It wasn't, but it looked good with our mullets, okay? So what I did, genius that I was, I took a pen, and I turned my because the shirt was open, you know. So I took this and I wrote down all the amendments to the Constitution. You know, the Constitution, the thing that they don't follow in Washington. You know, that thing. Okay. Well, I wrote down all the amendments because it was a test over the amendments. Well, the thing that happened was in writing these down on my shirt, on the inside of my shirt, I learned the amendments. Okay, that was actually study. If I'd have just done that, it'd have been great. But I wrote them down on my shirt and I went into class with full intention of cheating. Well, I found out that because, you know, as the test went on, I realized I knew all the amendments, and I didn't actually look at my shirt. I didn't actually cheat. So I just kind of forgot about that, and I took out my shirt and threw it in the wash, and guess who did laundry? My mom. And so my mom sees this, and she sees the shirt. She sees it, I mean, plainly written out. She knew I'd have had a civics test, and she said, you know, call me down, you know, in the anger of mom, you know, my mom, you know, but she was this tall at that time. She was huge, you know. And she just, you know, what in the world is this? I told the truth. I said, Mom, I did not cheat. That did not go over very well. She did not believe me. And I said, I meant to cheat. And I prepared to cheat. And I planned to cheat. And I walked in there with full intention of cheating. But I didn't cheat. And that did not go over well. So we went to the school. And she told my civics teacher what I'd done. And I got a 0 on the test. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. But whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. If you have plagiarized, if you are a cheater in school, stop. Stop. Because it is stealing. Parents, tell your children how to cite sources, because it'll get them in trouble if they don't. Plagiarism is a major problem. Tell them how to give credit to other people's intellectual property. Talk to your kids about cheating. Take away their cell phones on test day. I don't know. However you can do, stop them from cheating. Teach them about this, because this is epidemic. And it's a major blind spot in our schools, because it goes on all the time and most students don't see a problem with it. Second thing, in the office. Talk about it in the classroom. Now in the office. I did some research on this. And as my father-in-law and my brother-in-law are small business owners. And I did not realize, but employees of small businesses steal an estimated $40 billion a year from their employers. This isn't shoplifters. These are the employees stealing from their employers, either material or merchandise. But that doesn't even go along with the office pens, the stationery, office supplies you did not have permission to take. And most of us probably have a couple pens or some paper or, you know, a thing of Post-it notes that we just kind of grabbed from work and we didn't think anything of it. That is stealing, guys, if you don't have permission to take it. I can remember I worked in a lumber yard when I was in college. And it got to the point that we would deliver windows and doors and construction supplies to the job sites. And we stopped making runs after 12 o'clock. I was wondering why. Why are we not making any deliveries after 12 o'clock, especially of windows and doors? And the head of the lumberyard said, because if they don't put the windows in there and get them fastened in, the crews that are working after work come back and steal the windows and sell them. So it's such a major problem. The construction company that we supplied fired people every week for that. But the major blind spot, if you guys aren't doing that, the major blind spot is time. Time. How many of us steal time from our employers? Time. That means getting to work late and saying that you were there on time. That means leaving early. It's clocking or saying you're working till 4 and leaving it at 10 till. And you may have a good reason, because there's no work to be done, whatever. But you're getting paid to work till 4. If you're working, getting paid to work 40 hours, you better be working 40 hours. If not, you're stealing time from your employer. I'm as big a March Madness person as it goes, you guys. But during March Madness, they're estimating that $3.5 billion in lost productivity and everything will be stolen from employers with people watching basketball games, filling out their brackets in their pools. Are you stealing time from your employer? I was talking with a small business owner that said that he was thinking about doing things called well days, not sick days, well days, or calling them nice days, so that his employees would simply say, it's too nice a day, I'm not coming in. Because they were stealing time in sick days, because most of the vacation sick days were happening on Monday or Friday. Guys, are we stealing time from our employers? It's a major blind spot, because it happens so very much. Third thing, and God's design is integrity in dealing with people. Now, the major blind spot in dealing with people, I just want to call borrowing. Borrowing. Romans 13:8 says this, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Let no debt remain outstanding. In other words, if you owe, pay it. That's what the Bible says in dealing with people. Guys, I never loan anything. You know that? I quit loaning stuff a long time ago because all it did was destroy friendships. If I can't give it, I don't. Because once it leaves my hand, it is never coming back. And that's what life has taught me. I remember I was doing youth ministry down in Hendersonville. I was there on a Sunday night, and a guy came in, And he said, man, my car just broke down. My serpentine belt just shredded. I need 60 bucks. Can you loan me 60 bucks? And I said, first of all, buddy, you're talking to a car guy. Your serpentine belt costs about 12 bucks, okay? And he goes, oh, yeah, that's what I meant, 12 bucks. And I said, well, and he goes, man, you know, you work here. I'll pay back tomorrow. I get paid tomorrow, you know, all this stuff. And I said, just stop. I said, man, you know, the second that you walk out of here, I will never see you again. He goes, oh, man, no. I promise I'll pay you back. I said, just stop. You're making me mad. Okay? The second you walk out of here, you will never darken the doors of this church again. I know I will never see you again. Right? I said, don't lie to me. And he goes, all right. Okay, I'm not going to pay it back. And I said, okay, good. And I said, now, I just stopped you from committing the sin of lying. And I also stopped you from committing the sin of stealing. And you stopped me from committing the sin of tracking you down and beating you up. You know? Just be honest with me. Just say, you know what? I need 12 bucks and I'm never going to pay it back. Just say that. And he said that. He goes, okay, I need 12 bucks and I'm never going to pay it back. I said, here you go. Go. Because I knew the second he was gone, he was gone. Don't ever loan anything. Because that's the kind of people we are. So how are we doing? How many of you guys have a ladder in your garage that you borrowed and isn't yours? How many of you guys have a book that a friend loaned to you and it's still sitting on your nightstand? How many of you guys have things that you have borrowed with all intention of giving back and you simply haven't? It's a major blind spot, guys. That's stealing. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. And guys, honestly, I can't stand these ads of where they say, do you owe more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Well, come see us and we'll negotiate with your creditors and you'll wind up paying pennies on the dollar. I can't stand those ads, not because I want you to stay in debt your whole life, but because if you incurred a debt, pay it. It is a character thing. God's design for you is integrity, and if you incur a debt, you need to pay it more for you than for the person that needs the money, that you owe the money. It is because it is a character issue with you. Do you owe anything? Do you owe anything and haven't paid it? Pay it and be a person of integrity. That's what God's design is for you. And our concept of borrowing, like I said, it is so prevalent in our culture that most of us don't even think it's wrong. But it is. Second issue in dealing with people, major blind spot, pirated music and software. We as a staff at Catalyst, when we first started out, we couldn't afford anything. And so we were using software that we didn't own, that somebody gave us or we found, you know, somewhere, a gift of acquisition, you know, whatever. And we justified it by saying, you know, hey, we can't afford this. The Lord needs it. We need this to grow our church, yada, yada, yada. Guys, several months ago, we went through and made sure that every single piece of software we use, we own, all right, because we wanted to be people of integrity. How many of you guys have music on your iPod and computer that you don't own, you didn't buy, that you have basically stolen? Well, and people say, well, that happens all the time. That's not wrong. You know, they make so much money anyway. Well, let's think about the golden rule. Golden rule is you do to others as you would have others do to you. Let's say that you manufactured something. You built something and that was your income. And somebody bought it from you. Then all of a sudden, that person replicated it to 5 or 6 other people. And that was your livelihood. You probably would not like that very much. Well, guys, that's exactly the way the musicians are. And I don't care if they're millionaires. That is their property. And guys, don't steal it. Pirated music and software is epidemic. And like I said, it's so common in our culture, most of us don't even think about it. But it is a major blind spot in God's design for integrity for us. The third one, when dealing with people, it's possible to steal humanity. Stealing humanity. Psalm 82:3 says this, defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. I don't know if you guys have been checking out the news with coming out of Australia. You guys heard of Casey Haynes and Richard Gale? You heard about this? I mean, how many people know who those guys are? They're students. Okay, I haven't heard of it. Okay, very good. Well, what happened? Casey Haynes is a sophomore, and he's about this tall. And he's overweight, and he's been overweight all his life. He's been a target of bullying all his life. And there is a little seventh grader named Richard Gale. who is friends with a bunch of older kids that have been bullying him all his life. And so a friend of Richard's told him to go up and bully Casey, basically, and they videotaped it. And the video that has gone viral all over the world shows Richard, you know, up in Casey's face, a little seventh grader up in a sophomore's face, cussing at him, and then he punches him hard in the face. Casey does nothing. Richard tries to punch him again. Casey blocks it, and Richard tries to punch him a few more times. Then Casey, the sophomore, grabs the little seventh grader and slams him down WWE style on the pavement. And it went viral within hours. And Richard Gale is one of the most hated people on the planet right now because of his bullying and because so many people have been bullied in their lives. And it has touched a sore spot in so many people's lives and exposed the prevalence of bullying in our schools. Guys, the Psalm 82:3 says, "Defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed." When someone is bullied, when someone is treated as less than human, we steal their humanity. It's a form of stealing. Guys, this happens all the time. It happens with human. There's human trafficking going on. Samantha Hunley and Shannon Presley, two ladies in this church, have taken on the cause of human trafficking, exposing the problem. There are estimated 27 million slaves in this world right now. We said that's in those other countries, but I believe the statistics, if I'm not incorrect, there are thousands and thousands and thousands, close in the 100,000 range of girls and boys that are trafficked for sex in this country. There was an arrest for it down in Berea this past week. A mother and father were selling their daughters for sex. That is stealing their humanity. And it is the purpose and the job of the church to defend the weak and the fatherless, to uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, to speak up for those kids, to speak up for those slaves. It is our job to do that because their humanity is being stolen. You shall not steal. So what's the point of all this, you guys? God's design is integrity. Now, I was looking in the Bible for an example of integrity. And there's a guy named Samuel. He was a prophet. He had two books named after him, 1 and 2 Samuel. He led Israel his entire life. And at the end of his life, think about this. Think about the end of your life. At the end of his life, he stood up in front of the entire nation and said this: "I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe and to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right." Why was Samuel able to do that? Why was he able to stand up in front of all the people that his life has been laid bare in front of as a leader and say, "Who have I stolen from?" It's because he didn't. Think about it. How many of you students, on your graduation day, would love to stand in front of the entire faculty of your college or the entire teacher's board of your school and say, "Testify against me. In whose class have I plagiarized? In whose class have I stolen? In whose class have I cheated? If I've done anything like that, I will take a zero. I'll do it." Because you know that your record is spotless clean. How many of you guys at your retirement parties, at your office, or at your work, or when you are leaving that place of employment, say, "I've been here 40 years. Who have I stolen from?" Raise your hand. Who have I cheated? How many times have I stolen time from this company? When have I ever left early and gotten paid for a full day's work? If anybody can say that, I will make it right. How many of you would love to be able to do that? I would. I'd love my very last sermon at this church, whenever it is, to say, "Who have I ever stolen from? Who have I ever treated badly? Who have I ever done these kinds of things to?" Because God's design is integrity. Well, let me tell you something, guys. The only way that you can do that, the only way that that is possible, is through the power of Jesus Christ. We're not capable of doing that in our own strength. I was reading on the internet, there's a guy who started a prison ministry fellowship. He works in prisons among convicted rapists, murderers, thieves, everything like that. He was saying that when he was 12 years old, he'd already been arrested 57 times for theft, vandalism, just about everything under the sun. He'd been in court 57 times as a 12-year-old. And the judge looked at him when he was 12-year-old and said, young man, I imagine that you will spend most of your life in institutions. And he said the judge's prediction came true. I am spending most of my life in institutions, but it's because I'm reaching out to criminals. He said, when I was a boy, I was abused. I was molested. I was sexually abused. I was beat up. And I just didn't care about anybody. Didn't care about anything. He said, and then I met Jesus. And Jesus showed me what love was. Jesus filled that spot in my heart, and the years of torment and abuse just went away. And I'm trying to communicate that same love to these criminals. He says, I have been changed by the power of the gospel, and you can be too. All of this stuff can be gone. See, when the heart problem is taken care of, when Jesus isn't here, we have no desire to steal because we're satisfied. We have a purpose. And there's no need to do any of this. So the question is, are you a thief? If you are a thief, if any of this stuff that we've been talking about today applies to you, you may have a heart problem. You may have a heart problem that only Jesus can fix by his power and by his love. We're getting ready to go into our time of communion. We're going to go back to the table.